Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
All right, welcome to the program and thank you for joining us. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast. I am Michael Boldea, your host. And tonight, yes, we are live. And we also have a special guest. You know him, you love him, you miss him, you want him. It's Jeff, and together we are two angry dads. We're going to get to Jeff in a minute, but first of all, on a serious note, please remember Brother Douglas's wife in your prayers. She has cancerous tumors in her abdomen, and it's getting painful, so pray the Lord's will be done. We just had one of the boys from the orphanage pass from cancer. And it's a horrible ordeal. I mean, we prayed, we believed God, but sometimes God chooses contrary to what we would like him to choose. And our mindset needs to be, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. So even in these difficult moments, we have to cling to God. Even in these difficult moments, we have to make certain that our faith is unwavering. And we have to remind ourselves that though for a moment we hurt, though for a moment we weep, though for a moment we're scared because we're human. And even Jesus said, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. So nobody's taking suffering lightly. But we have to understand that it's only but a moment. And then after that moment passes, whether sooner or later, up to God, then we get to spend eternity with him. And that is the hope that we have in Christ. That is the hope that we cling to. I know that Brother Douglas and his wife believe in miracles. She was diagnosed, I think it was 5-6 years ago, and there was prayer at a meeting, and God healed her. She was granted a reprieve. We will continue to pray. I've been praying for her. Please pray for her, those of you listening in, and pray God's will be done. So that was the thing that I wanted to start the program off with, because I love Brother Douglas and I love his wife, Jeanette. They're very special people. And when they ask for prayer, I let you guys know, because I know that many of you, if not all of you who listen to this program, are praying people. So do what you do best. Go before God. Pray for Sister Jeanette. Pray for Brother Douglas. Pray for their family. Pray for her healing. And pray for God's will to be done. So I know that when Jeff's on, we usually get jovial, and there's a little levity, and boy, can we use some levity nowadays. Luckily, I do my own grooming, as it were. I shave my own head, and I shave my own beard, so I haven't had a need for a barber. But there's some people that still cling to the fantasy that they have a full head of hair, and they like other people to do the trimming for them. I know somebody that actually bought a Flowbee. I don't know if you remember the Flowbee, Jeff, but yeah. That's going pretty hardcore. If you finally give in and buy a Flowbee and attach it to your vacuum cleaner and think you're going to have, a look that is passable, then you've been in your basement for too long, I'm afraid. But how have you been? How's Indiana treating you? Because here in Wisconsin, well, we have just crazy people doing crazy things.
It's about the same here for us. I actually, last week, we were supposed to take a vacation down to Florida to visit a brother at a place called Liberty Lodge. It's in Titusville. It's a place where they men who are trying to get over addictions, whether it's alcohol, narcotics, drugs, whatever they have, it's a Christ-based centered recovery center. We were going to go down there last week and we didn't get a chance to, and we ended up of course, staying home like everybody else is. But I went ahead and took a vacation that week, and I ended up breaking the dishwasher, the HVAC, and my wife went into the emergency room. So I guess, like my mom says, things come in threes, so I guess I shouldn't have gone on a vacation.
Well, I don't know if you're not going on vacation would have spared you any of those things, and hopefully your wife's
no,
okay.
No, I don't think so.
You know what? Right now, everything in the house that could be broken has been broken. So I'm hoping that, you know, I get a reprieve because we bought an older home, and so we had to replace the AC. We had to replace the boiler downstairs. It's been fun. I can't lie. You know, being a homeowner is you know, they try to, it's like people who get sold on buying a boat, you know, after the first season out, you start to regret it and you realize how much work it is. You have to winterize it and you have to bring it out of the water. And you're like, oh, why did I do this? And then you try to talk some other schmuck into buying it, you know, and that's pretty much where I'm at right now.
Well, my friend who owned a boat, he said the two best days are the day you buy it and the day you sell it.
And I think that most boat owners or former boat owners would concur, because I've known a couple and they were very happy when they got somebody else to buy it. But if there's been a silver lining throughout all this, is that as a dad, there really hasn't been much I've been angry about. Apparently, kids stop transitioning or wanting to transition if there's a pandemic. If you see the world slipping into the fiery bowels of Hades, apparently parents are smart enough to, you know, take Billy, slap him across the face once, make him take off the dress and put on a pair of cargo shorts and go play with some worms, you know. So if there's been one silver lining through this whole thing is that I haven't had to hear about, you know, brave parents transitioning their 4 and 5 year olds. It's an odd thing, isn't it?
It takes the pandemic to stop transgenderism. There you go.
Yes, it takes the end of the world pretty much. I think if we think these people have stopped, we're fooling ourselves, because as soon as things get back to any semblance of normalcy, as soon as things get back to, you know, what we would consider normal, and I will not say the words of the new normal. I would rather have somebody put a hot poker on my tongue than utter the words, this is the new normal, because it's not. This is the new stupid, if anything. It's all the weed smokers and people having unprotected sex with, you know, people they met an hour ago that are the ones wearing the masks. I see Vietnam vets, the grizzly folks, you know, walking around with no protection, no masks, no gloves. We nod at each other because we're men and we're normal and we're not queer, you know, and we go on about doing our shopping. So it's astounding to me how people who live lives that welcome all sorts of disease are suddenly afraid of something that has less than 1% mortality rate. That's what I'm seeing anyway.
Every time I go to Wally World, I see more and more people wearing the mask, and I'm refusing to wear it because I feel like I don't want to play into the whole game.
Exactly. That's my thing. To me, the reason I will not wear it is because I'm validating your lunacy. I've said it once or twice before to somebody, but it's the same reason why I won't call Bob Jenny, just because he says his name is Jenny. No, you're Bob. You got twigs and berries. You're Bob. And there's no amount of you saying you're Jenny is gonna change that. So that's the
twigs
reason
and
that
berries.
I refuse. Well, yeah. Yeah, twig and berries. That's what
I like your I like that one in the article you had put the orange fly in the ointment. I like that line.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, look, it's amazing though how quickly these people shift gears. They called the man a tyrant for the longest time. Then they got angry at him for not being a tyrant and not, you know, ordering a blanket national quarantine. you know, he left it up to the states. And I think some of the governors are going to get rewarded for being sane, like the lady from North Dakota, who didn't even shut anything down. I mean, she's a rock star with her people right now because they still have jobs and they're not starving and they're not thinking about how to make the next mortgage payment. You know, and you have this Fruit Loop here in Wisconsin, and you have that Nazi in Michigan, you know, who are just trying to milk this for all it's worth. If the people aren't smart enough to vote these people out of office come next election or recall them even, then the people deserve what they're getting.
Yeah. Yeah, well, how do you think that's going to go? Do you think they're going to get this mail in? Email your vote in or vote online?
Vote by mail. Well, oddly enough, and this is one thing I looked into today because something didn't smell right. You know that California just had an election because the outgoing individual, the one in the thruple, it's the Democrat that normalized the word thruple, and she should never be forgiven for that. It's not the fact that she's a whore. It's not the fact that she's a sleazy whore. It's the fact that she normalized the word thruple. That's my problem. So anyway, she resigned in disgrace, and they had an election for her seat, and it was all mail-in vote. And apparently the Republican just blew the Democrat out of the water. Now, on a national level, I know it could get a little skeevy. I don't think we're going to have vote by mail, but they're going to try to prolong this. They're going to try to drag this out for as long as they can. Because the longer they drag it out, the more they think they'll hurt this administration. You know, and like everything the Democrats do, because they're myopic and retarded, it's going to backfire on them, and it's going to backfire spectacularly. But my concern right now is, you know, I'm over. I'm sorry. For those of you that are still living in your basement, still eating, you know, baked beans and trying not to pass gas in front of your significant other, I'm sorry you're not over it. I am. This thing, the data that we're seeing, kids are unaffected. If you're under 85 and you have one good lung, you'll be okay. So this is already in my rear view. You know, I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's the way I feel about it. I know some people get angry with me, but if you look back on everything I've said since this whole thing started, since they were building that hospital in 10 days in China, and everything that I've written on it and said about it, I've been consistent. I've told people when there is reason for concern, then I'm all right. Let's take the foot off the gas pedal, because. You know, again, I understand old people are dying. Now, I'm working on an article that for the first time, I'm going down the conspiracy theory rabbit hole.
Woo-hoo!
Because I know it's amazing, isn't it? Because I fought against it forever. I'm working on this. I may put it out tomorrow morning or Saturday at the latest. But apparently the health person in Pennsylvania, while telling everyone they should stay in the old folks' homes and making it illegal to leave, she pulled her own mom out. So my conspiracy, honestly, that's what happened.
Wow.
She pulled her mom out, put her in a hotel while telling everybody there's nothing to worry about, stay where you are. And I'm because Cuomo did the same thing. He made it against the law to leave. And he also brought COVID patients into old folks' homes. So either these people are retarded enough that they need to be measured for drool cups and adult diapers, or they saw a chance to kill off a bunch of people that were sponges on the system. And before anyone thinks, oh my, nobody would do that, these are the people that signed post-birth abortion bills with all the ghouls clapping in the background. If you don't have a problem with someone taking a hammer to the backside of a newborn baby, you sure as whatever don't have a problem with an old person dying from water filling their lungs. I'm sorry. There's no way. So that's my conspiracy theory right now, is that they killed all the old people in New York and Pennsylvania on purpose. Or at least they allowed the angel of death known as COVID-19 to just run roughshod through all the old folks' homes. because there's a bunch of them going to be empty and none of them are going to be asking for government handouts. Those things are expensive. And New York was already in the hole financially. So I'm still working through all the data that I have about it. But if some intrepid, sleuth could get their hands on some text messages or some emails where, it's even hinted at, then it's no longer conspiracy theory, is it? It's just fact. So that's where I'm at tonight.
I'm sure the Lord could reveal that.
He would, but I like facts too. Because,
he could have somebody talk to somebody, and all of a sudden it just slips out, and there's all the evidence.
Yeah, because the criminal justice system doesn't take kindly to the Lord told me. So honestly, if this woman saw the data, and she knew that she was sentencing people to die, and she pulled her own mom out. Because if she hadn't, then all right, you're just stupid. You didn't see it coming. You're mentally incapacitated. But the fact that she pulled her mom out of an old folks' home tells me that she had enough awareness to realize what this would do to the senior citizen community.
Or she had insider information.
And she still went on TV, sunshine and all. I mean, she's not sunshiny because she's a wretched-looking human being. I mean, she and Golem must be blood relatives. But, she was laying it on thick. There's nothing to worry about. We're testing everybody. You're going to get a temperature check. Go back and eat your Jell-O. Everything's going to be all right. And you've got – that's where most of the people are dying. It's in the senior living facilities. It's people that are already pushing, a century. I'm sad for them. I'm sorry for them. I think what Cuomo did is unforgivable, where you send in, COVID patients into old folks' homes. That's a little questionable.
Yeah.
But it's not what they were saying. They were throwing numbers of 2.5 million around if we did everything right. And right now, the Wisconsin Supreme Court just overturned the stay-at-home order given by the governor. They said it was unlawful, and as I was driving into the studio, it's a sad thing, but it still made me smile. Every single bar, their parking lots are completely packed. There's people outside, inside. There's revelry abounding. And I'm like, now, you stayed inside for 2 months like a moron. Now you're going to drive drunk and kill yourself and somebody else.
Welcome to America.
Look, I'm not a Darwinist, man, but natural selection has to have its say somewhere. If you're that stupid, then go towards the light and make sure you're an organ donor. What more can I say? My well of empathy doth run dry for dumb people. It has to at some point, and it already has. I mean, it lasted for 44 years because it kind of ran out last year. But, 44 years isn't half bad.
Yeah. What are you, 45 now?
Yeah, I turned 45 this year.
There you go.
So the pendulum done swung the other way now. I'm past the halfway point because there's no way I'm seeing 90 with my diet. So.
Heck no. I'll be happy to see 65.
There you go. See, we're realists. And then you hear that somebody at 103 beat the virus, and you're like, wow, okay. I wish I could live half your age. So the one thing that I right now, and I know you're the same way, everything I see, I look through the prism of what sort of country and what sort of future am I leaving for my kids. And the one thing that last week began to sort of take shape, and in the last couple of days it's really blown up, is the fact that they basically just railroaded Mike Flynn, who was three-star general, served his country for 30 years, and they did it maliciously. They did it willfully. They did it systematically. They destroyed a man's life. And these are people that were in government. These are some elected officials, some bureaucrats, And I came out of a banana republic. That's what Romania was. It was,
yeah.
You know, the old saying, show me the man and I'll show you the crime. This is exactly what happened here. And my concern is that enough people aren't angry enough. Enough people aren't seeing this for what it is and really calling for justice. I realize that we're distracted with coronavirus and all this other stuff, but we can't push this to the back burner, man, because it was ugly, and I think a lot more is going to come out in the next few days where we're going to sit there and scratch our heads and go, these people thought that even if they lost, they'd find a way to win. These people thought that all they had to do was destroy a few lives, and they'd be back in the seat of power. I don't know if you've kept up with it, but if you have, if you got any thoughts on it.
Well, I had heard way back when, even before Trump was going to be in office, that he was going to choose Michael Flynn to be in his cabinet because he had, so to speak, the dirt on the swamp. And Flynn was to be go in and actually help clean all that out. And of course, the Democrats knew this, and they knew that they had to get rid of him, because if they didn't get rid of him, it meant at that time, it meant their demise. And so they did everything they could to get him out. And I had heard that they had even basically said to him, and I think even Rand Paul came out and said this, that they said, look, if you just say any dirt on Trump, we'll go easy on you. We won't, you know, be hard on you. You'll be fine. And he said, no, I'm not going to do that. And then, of course, they did everything they could to destroy his life. And I heard they even threatened his son. And so, and of course, they destroyed people like Roger Stone and I can't remember all the different names of the people that they destroyed. But they knew that Trump getting in there could end up becoming their demise. And so they were taking out everybody they could who was a threat to them. And Flynn was a big threat to them because he had been in Obama's administration. He knew, you know, all the players. And I guess Obama and Flynn had a falling out between each other. And there was a bit of retaliation of going after Flynn because he went to Trump and said, look, I know what's going on. If you win, I'm with you. And what's interesting now is there's even talk of him coming back into the administration because he's being cleared. But, of course, if you've heard, that judge is still trying to hold him down and trying to even push him back and say, no, 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 I don't care what the Department of Justice says. I don't care what the DOJ, any of them, I don't care what they say. I'm not gonna let him go until I have an independent person come in and evaluate what's going on. So they're still trying to stop him.
But these are not medieval times, man. If there's no crime, you can't, just because you don't like somebody's politics, just because you don't like somebody's face, you know, you can't do that to an innocent human being. And that, look,
you can't, but I think they're waiting to see if Trump's going to get back in. I think they're really hoping that they'll get the hobalong in there. And then once he's in, then the cabinet will just pretty much run his presidency, and then they can do whatever they want. I think that's really what they're hoping for, is they're holding
out long enough. Just, you know, all things being fair now, Steve. Not Steve, sorry. I was talking to a guy named Steve earlier. I apologize. All things being fair, though, honestly now, do you think Biden has a snowball's chance of becoming president?
I don't think so. There's
something demonstrably wrong with this man. There is something demonstrably wrong with his ability to formulate a sentence, for Pete's sake. I mean, can you imagine the carnage of Joe Biden and Donald Trump having a debate?
Yeah, well, there's even talk that he's never coming back out of the basement.
Well, you're going to have to at some point, Joe. You know, but look, for you can say what you want about Donald Trump, man. He's quick-witted. He's quick on his feet. He's sharp. And these guys are the same age. One of them looks a lot worse than the other. You make your choice whom. But, again, I think it's one of the reasons that they're trying to drag this out is the hope that the American people will begin to resent the current administration and will begin to resent this current president if the pain lasts long enough. What they're not realizing as yet is that this administration made a brilliant move when he says, we're going to leave it up to the states to decide if they close, how long they close for, when they close, and when they open. That means that the governors are responsible for the decisions that are being made for their state, which is the way a constitutional republic works. That's why we have a governor. And so I think that, you know, anybody that's not just blitzed out of their mind on weed, and thankfully it's so expensive in Illinois that all the retards that thought they'd get weed, man, can't afford it anyway. You know, unless you're out of your mind, you'll have to acknowledge the fact that it's not the administration's fault. I'm personally not a fan of Dr. Fauci. I don't know where you stand, but
No, not a fan.
And I understand.
If he's getting money from Bill Gates, no thanks.
That's one of the things. But look, I understand you're a virologist, immunologist, whatever it is. But you also happen to take into account other factors when you make decisions like, yup, shut it all down. Because right now, the one thing that scares me, I know I go off on tangents. The one thing that scares me every time I go into the store is how bare the alcohol aisles are. Because I know that they restock those things every single night, like clockwork. And I'm not talking about, you know, Mike's Hard Lemonade or some ridiculous thing. You know, I'm not talking about Zimas. I'm talking all the hard liquor, man, the tequila, the whiskey, the bourbon. You'll see one bottle just down an entire aisle, just one lone bottle like somebody missed it. And you're going, there's a lot of drinking going on at home with kids not going to school, with parents at the end of their rope because they can't make rent, so they're going to drown themselves in booze. I think once we start seeing the numbers rolling in of the collateral damage and the unintended consequences of this shutdown, we will be just horrified at what we see.
Yeah. Well, that's what one doctor had talked about that was on a video that got taken off of YouTube. I think he was out in California. They said they have seen increases of molestations, abuse at home, alcohol abuse, just all forms of abuse, mental abuse, just because everybody's, like you said, compacted in one place and they can't get out.
Yeah, and parents aren't used to being in the same space with their children for that long. Unless you're Amish. Oh, I love my kids to the moon and back. I love them to death. But man, 3 days in, when they start getting together and yelling that they want to watch cartoons, and the answer is no, when they start banging pans and stuff, you're like, go back to school. You know, it gets to you. There's not much you can get done because you're always having to watch the kids. And I think the reason that a lot of politicians are so laissez-faire about this whole thing is that they haven't missed a paycheck yet.
No,
they're still getting paid. You know, their family's still getting fed. Their bills aren't past due. And I know a lot of people, even in my small dinky town in Wisconsin, that are literally out of work. The place where they work shut down 2.5 months ago, and they haven't had any money coming in. You know, and that's a scary proposition, because I know how people are nowadays. There are very few people that have, you know, a 3-month, 6-month contingency, that have some money saved up, because we've conditioned ourselves to be a consumer society. So if we had an extra $300, we went and bought a bigger TV. And right now, there's people that have already burnt through their stimulus check, or whatever you want to call it, and there's no more coming. Well, unless, you know, Nancy gets her way, and if she does, then the economy is going to collapse anyway. So we need to have some video courses on hunting squirrel. I think that's my next play, to develop video courses on hunting animals you see around your house. You know, squirrels, chipmunks, how to skin them, how to eat them. I guarantee you they'll get a million hits soon enough if it goes the way some people want it to go. Because they don't care if they rule over ashes as long as they rule. Nancy and her $24,000 refrigerators or freezers and her, you know, delectable ice cream that she orders from some, you know, hoity-toity place, she's not going to be hurting.
No.
So.
No, she's not. So how do you see this playing out? I know you mentioned you kind of feel like, you know, we're going to get back, don't want to use the word new normal, but we're going to get back to some normal. How do you see it playing out in the long run?
In the long run, I think the economy has taken a major punch to the gut. The one good thing is that it was self-induced. You know, the numbers didn't bear out the pain. So if they open back up again and if things get back up and running, I think economically by the third quarter, we should be rebounded to a solid maybe halfway. But my thing is this, these people have seen how easy it is to strip the individual of their constitutional rights. They've seen how easy it is to basically transform a nation into a totalitarian regime overnight, because it could have been worse. Trump could have been that tyrant dictator they all feared he was and just declare a blanket national quarantine. They did that in Romania.
Yeah.
I mean, the entire country of Romania, man, was shut down. If you got caught on the street and you didn't have a permission slip, you were fined, what was it, like $2,500? Anyway, it's a ridiculous number that people couldn't pay. And they handed out, I don't know, like 3 million euro in fines in the first 2 weeks. So, you know, it could have been worse from that standpoint. But go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. But I was going to tell you, I actually got a permission slip through my employer. I got it in my wallet. Yeah.
I didn't think
it was going to get worse.
Huh.
Yeah,
I didn't even bother. I would rather, you know, go down with the ship when it comes to that kind of nonsense. Because as long as this is still a free country and there's freedom of movement, look, right now the churches in Chicago, the Romanian churches at least, they've got a battle on their hands because they're starting to meet. And the pastor spearheading this revolt, I guess, had an appointment with the mayor, and she sort of canceled because she said, oh, I'm going to educate these churches on what they're supposed to do. And this guy wrote a very thoughtful, you know, 4-page letter. I lived through this kind of thing. I'm not going to live through it again. I came to America because it was a land of freedom, because there's freedom of assembly, because there's freedom of religion. You're not going to educate me away from that. And once he wrote that letter, she canceled the meeting. So I think next Sunday, either she's going to pull back and just let them meet, or a bunch of Romanians are going to get arrested in Chicago. And I think it's going to make national news, because the people that have lived through tyranny understand that once you set a precedent, once you spill the milk, you can't get it all back in the glass. And when you hear certain states going, we're probably going to be locked down until 2021, nobody's asking, what do you think is going to happen, you know, in a couple of weeks when your streets are full of people protesting, when everybody that can will leave your state and will stop paying the taxes? But that's my biggest concern right now, is the fact that they realize how easily manipulated people are if the media is on their side. Because this has been blown out of proportion by the media. They've propagandized this to no end. Every time one person dies somewhere, boom, he was a family man. There's family men that die every single day. of various things. You don't see an op-ed on every single one of them.
No.
You know, and there's a lot of things going on with the death count that are as yet very fishy, that are I'm questioning it, because if you have a promissory note from the government that if a death is assigned as a COVID death, you get an extra $13,000. And right now your hospital's bleeding money because they're losing billions of dollars, because they're even nurses and doctors, you know, the heroes are getting furloughed because nobody's doing anything else and the hospitals are empty. If you can get an extra $13,000 per, you know, COVID death, what's the harm in putting COVID as cause of death? You know, there's a lot of fishy things going on where I'm not believing that the numbers are where they say they are. If the numbers were, I think we'd see a run on funeral homes, and we're not seeing it. If the hat fits, I guess I gotta wear it. But I'm getting a bit conspiratorial, and I don't like where my conspiracy theories are leading me.
I've kind of trafficked in the conspiracy theory for quite some time, and so I've been watching this and wondering, you know, okay, yeah, the COVID virus, it's a real virus, it does cause death, but it doesn't cause the death that they say it will. But knowing how these people are, they'll use a crisis for any opportunity, and if they can push it like they're doing, they're going to push it. And obviously they don't want Trump in power, they want him out, and I kind of see that they're using this as an opportunity to try to push him out of power, like you said, to where his approval numbers go down, and then eventually people just won't vote for him, and they can get somebody in there that will then give him back the power. But I think they're starting to see that's not going to work with this. It didn't work with impeachment. It didn't work with the Russian hoax. It didn't work with anything. And my fear is that if they see Trump get in for another 4 years, they know that their time is done. So why not pull out all the stops? Why not do even something even bigger than this? That's kind of my fear of watching them and what they're doing. I think that if they see that this is not working, they're just going to go even further.
Well, they try. Murder hornets. Have you heard of the murder hornets?
No, the murder hornets are coming. Yes. Killing everything.
Yeah. No, I think they're going to try to say there's a wave two around September, or a second wave. And every media outlet's going to beat that drum until. But again, most people, the ones that aren't sitting in their basements in the fetal position, sucking on their thumb, they're not going to be as obedient the second time around, especially if it's the same thing. Now, if the Chinese release some other thing where people's eyes start exploding in their heads, then yeah, sure. I see another lockdown, but this was a one-shot deal, man. You had one silver bullet to kill the werewolf, because the economy can't sustain this every 6 months. You can't just spend trillions of dollars willy-nilly every few months and expect your country to survive. You know, I'm already concerned about the taxes my kids are going to have to pay over all of this. And to see people, you know, celebrating that they got an extra few $100 and they're going to be on unemployment until they kick me off, you're like, you're not understanding. You're not getting free money. There's no such thing. If it's coming to you, it's coming from somebody else. It has to. Because the government doesn't produce, it doesn't earn money. It just takes money from one individual and gives it to another. Or they print it. And so we're either going to have inflation and a devaluation of the dollar, which would be a scary thing. Because I remember when people used to go, try to buy bread with Deutschmarks when they converted over to the euro. And it's just worthless. I remember when they had to slice off, what, like 3 zeros from the Romanian leu. Because, you know, one loaf of bread was like 37 million lei, you know, and they decided, this is kind of dumb. We'll just shave off a few zeros. Now it's 37 lei. So
there you go.
Yeah, I know. It's easy. It's magic marker time. That's all we have to do. How much do we owe China? 30 trillion? All right, let's shave off 12 zeros. Oh, we don't owe you nothing now. But it doesn't work that way because... You know, We're little fish in a big pond looking at what these people are doing. And half the time you wonder if they're crazy. But then you realize, go ahead.
I was going to say, they are crazy. They're all crazy.
Well, but they have an agenda. Crazy is unpredictable. And this is where I see the hope. Crazy is unpredictable. You don't know what a crazy person's going to do. You know, they're either going to try to stab you or eat their own feces. 50-50 shot. But if they have an agenda, you know the steps they need to take in order to reach their objective. So the thing you have to do is basically build a wall. You build a wall so high that they can't get to the next step that they need in order to fulfill their agenda. And I think this is why they were just out of their minds with anger and rage, is because Trump was that wall back in 2016. If Hillary would have gotten in, we'd already be a socialist country. Let's face facts. We'd already have, you know, single-payer health care. Education would be free. You'd be paying 70% taxes because, you know, paying your fair share is the American thing. And this was an obstacle, you know, in the advancement of their agenda. We know what their agenda is, and we have to do everything we can to try to stop it every step of the way. Because I need to be able to face my kids. I need to be able to look them in the eye. And if I just sit there and go, oh, we're waiting for the aliens or whatever, weren't we supposed to get hit by a comet like 3 days ago or something?
That
was the big thing, wasn't it? The reason everybody's on lockdown is because we're going to get hit by a comet, and every leader in the world has decided it's better for you to spend the last few days with your family.
There you go.
Yeah, that was.
That's a lot of miserable people.
I know. They're waiting for the comet. They're sitting on their roofs going, where is it? Where is it? And it's not coming.
I was talking about spending with your family.
Well, yeah, because after 2 months with your family, you're hoping that a comet strikes. I kid, of course. I love my kids. But it's nice to have quiet time, too.
Yeah.
But, again, that's another reason why I've resisted the whole conspiracy theory thing. It's not that I'm bad at it. I can spin a yarn, kid. I can come up with conspiracy theories that'll sound so true you'll start to, you know, dig a hole for yourself. So you'd have something like Saddam Hussein back when they caught him, you know. But I don't want to do that. My intent is not to cause fear and panic in people. My intent is to cause people to draw closer to Christ, to understand that there is safety in Him, to understand that these things are coming. But knowing that they're coming doesn't mean that you're exempted from doing anything in trying to delay or put it off or stop it. You know, that's not what it means. Knowing what the end result is, knowing what the agenda is, knowing what they're hoping to accomplish, you fight with every breath to keep them from accomplishing it, because that's the way it works. And who knows, God may tarry. But if we don't do anything, the results will be a certainty. And I, for one, don't want to relive communism, even though I would probably live better in communism than most people that really want to live in it in America. Because I know how you work the system. I know who you're supposed to go to. I know which palms you're supposed to grease. I know everything that I need in order to have a halfway decent life in a communist system, I learned in childhood. People, these man bun wearing hippies with the flip flops and the tie dye shirts that want communism, man, because Che Guevara was so cool, they'll be the first to die because they have no clue what it is. They think they're just going to get free money for the rest of their life. Well, you know what? Free money runs out, honey. And then the next time you go and ask for it, they ask you politely to leave. When you say no, where's my money? Because, you know, everyone's got to pay their fair share. You get a bullet to the face, or maybe, you know, a knee cracked, or maybe a few weeks in jail. So all these people having fantasies about how great socialism is, you know, I'm halfway hoping that we see it. So they live the misery of it to the utmost so that the bile builds up in the back of their throat so that they see a bus coming down the road and for a split second wonder, how bad would it be if I just stepped in front of it? Because you know what? If you're aching for communism or socialism or whatever you want to say it, you deserve it. But that's just me. I'm a loving guy. Go ahead, Jeff.
I'm just enjoying it. You remind me very much of a very good comic.
Okay.
If we could just put you on stage and put a mic and a stand in front of you, you'd do great.
Well, you have to toe the line in comedy now because, you know, if you start talking about boys in dresses, you get dirty looks and stuff. But you have to have levity. You have to be a happy warrior in this because I know a lot of people that see the monotonous drudgery of it all every single day and they get bitter. And I promised myself that I would never get bitter in the battle. I'd never get downtrodden. I'd never get sad. I'd never get desperate. We're supposed to be happy warriors. And this is the way I process. This is the way that I can retain my joy is looking at it from my personal perspective and realizing the absurdity of what some of these people are trying to push and then pointing it out. Because if I gave in to that morose mindset, I guarantee you it would bleed into my family life. It would bleed into my time with my wife and my kids. And I'm sorry, I don't want my kids to be walking around going, it's the end of the world, comet's coming, it's killer bees, it's murder hornets, it's monkeys with guns. Like, what? Just look, you do what you're supposed to do as an individual, affect as many people as you can as an individual. Live righteousness as an individual and trust that God has a plan. But in all of God's plans, throughout the Bible, God always incorporated men. They had to do the work. They had to go and march around Jericho for the walls to fall. Samson had to go out there with a jawbone and start swinging in order for the Philistines to die. You know, we put everything on God's shoulders and think we can just sit there and try to, you know, throw popcorn into our belly button or something. It doesn't work that way. We need to be active and do the things we know we're supposed to be doing.
And what would your advice be to the listeners as to what they should be doing now? I think you've kind of covered it, but if you could give it in like a concise,
out the gate. First thing, this is uniform, universal for everyone, is pray. God hears the prayers of his saints. You know, before you go marching at the Capitol with flags and don't tread on me, you know, get on your knees and pray. God is able to change things. But once that is accomplished, the next thing you need to do is ascertain for yourself how important freedom is to you. Let's just start there. Let's just, you know, first step is ascertain how important freedom is to you. Now, because I come from where I come from, because I lived what I lived, even though my ancestors didn't die in the Revolutionary War, even though I have no ancestors that died in the Civil War, because I come from where I come from, freedom is very important to me. It's next to God and my family, freedom is one of the most essential things in my life. And I would be willing to go to prison, and I would be willing to suffer for freedom. So ascertain what freedom is worth to you. And if you place a price on freedom, if freedom is important to you, then don't be a sheep. Don't submit, not question, say nothing. Keep your head down because, you know, if you keep your head down, they'll leave you alone. If everyone keeps their head down, it will only get worse. If no one says anything, they will believe that the population has acquiesced, and so they will continue to tighten the screws all the more. And eventually, they'll get to you. Look, the fact that much of the American church is absolutely silent when it's being told you can't congregate, you can't come together, you can't even sit in your car in Kentucky and have like a parking lot church service. But at the same time, abortion clinics are open for business. At the same time, I see people with full carts of liquor standing in lines 10 deep trying to go home and you know, calm their jitters and dull their senses so they don't have to think about what's happening in their country. So if the one thing that demonstrably gives people hope is outlawed, which is church, which is an essential thing for many people. And all the while you're allowing the destructive vices that cause all manner of evil, that allow me to question your motives, allow me to question why you're doing what you're doing, and allow me to be skeptical that it's for my own safety. So I know that wasn't in a nutshell, but that's, you know, pretty much in broad strokes what I think should be done.
Yeah. No, I was kind of wanting to ask you that. I kind of felt like I knew what you were going to say, but I thought it'd be nice to have it concise there for all the listeners to think about that, because obviously you come from have a very different perspective than most Americans. You've come from a place with no freedom or very little freedom, and you've had, you know, your parents and your grandparents who lived through that, and you've had that. Ingrained in you of what that life was like. And that's just a perspective that I don't have and a lot of us don't have. So that's good to hear.
Well, but once, and that's the thing that I think that, you know, it's that blissful ignorance where most Americans haven't lived it. But once you give up your freedoms willingly, 99 times out of 100, the only way you get them back is through bloodshed. Because if you allow the tyranny of tyrants to solidify into quote unquote the new normal, then that's it, kid. They will do everything they can and to make examples out of enough people where everybody else just shuts up and follows along. So this is why it dragging it on for another 2 weeks and another 2 weeks and another 2 weeks is dangerous, because it normalizes something that should never be normalized in this country. It normalizes something that is an aberration to human decency, where you tell a completely healthy person that they can't leave their house. Why? Because I say so. And who are you? Yeah. You're not my queen, you're not my king, you're not my lord. You're an elected official. And by the way you speak, you're half a knave at best. So who are you? And I'm glad that, you know, it's starting to snowball a little bit, because every court is striking down these totalitarian, tyrannical, you know, orders. But if the next thing is bad enough, maybe the next time they won't. Because look, the ACLU, aren't they supposed to be for civil liberties and whatnot? I don't know. I don't know much about the ACLU, but I think it's in their title. Have you heard one peep from the ACLU about all these stay-at-home orders?
No, they're not going to say anything.
Oh, but why? Civil liberties. Do civil liberties only extend to women wanting to murder their babies? Is that it?
For them, yeah.
Okay, so again, we are damaged as a nation. We need to find our way back to reason and logic. And once we find our way back to reason and logic, it's inevitable that we will find our way back to God. Because a reasonable person seeks out truth, and God is truth, and God is not hidden, and God doesn't mask himself, and God doesn't hide in a corner. He said, if you seek me, you shall find me. So again, there's not much reason to be hopeful, but I'm hopeful nevertheless, because I have to be. I won't give in to desperation. I won't give in to, you know, the sky is falling Chicken Little mindset. I can't. because I got kids and I want them to grow up happy. So that's where I'm at. I know your kids are all grown and Jeff's got the house to himself, but you know, mine are still at home, Jeff, and they yell a lot because they're two girls.
Well, they yell a lot even when they're older too. It doesn't stop.
Yeah, but when they're older, you're less empathetic, I think. You know, when you see them make that face at two, "Daddy, please," like your heart breaks. You know, if she was 17 and she, "Daddy, please go get a job," you know? So I don't know.
The problems are different. there's so many days my wife and I have said, you know, we would like to go back to like your stage. Because the problems may seem extreme, but when you get to this point, you're and look back, you're like, yeah, it wasn't that bad.
Well, I have this conversation with my wife every night after we put him to bed. We get to spend a little time and just talk. And we're seeing the future. You know, their personalities and their sass and everything. You're seeing what the future holds 5-10 years down the road, and I'm looking at my wife, and she's looking at me. Like, are we mentally prepared for this?
No.
I don't know. I'm, you know, I'm halfway hoping that I'll be incontinent by then, or I'll be, you know, I'll have Joe Biden dementia. I don't know.
Yeah, that would be good.
Well, maybe, or maybe not. I don't know, because it's still uncertain if Joe's wearing adult diapers. So, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, man, everything else seems to be falling apart. Why not his, bowel control?
Well, but we don't have enough time left, but the one question I always wanted to ask you is, and maybe this could be for another time, is were you ever shown the incremental steps that lead up to the point when we do reach a civil war in this country?
Well, that was something my grandfather saw, and there's a lot of theories going around. But what he always said, and this was consistent, was that it will start with an internal revolution or a civil uprising from the middle of the country, started by the communists. So if I see it through that lens, I think it's more likely that come next election, when they lose again, people like the Bernie Bros and others might go a little nuts. Now, I'm hoping we have more than a few months. But God knows. We have to be spiritually prepared and ready at any point, because there are a lot of angry people, and most people in this country have guns, and that's one of those things that the other side is realizing, and they're trying to, you know, take steps to remedy. But you're not going to be able to take people's guns away without a fight.
That's what I'm saying, is both sides are not going to back down.
Exactly. I mean, right now, Canada's done it. Canada just outlawed everything from, you know, muskets to ARs. But we're not Canada, thankfully. You know, it's blood that runs through our veins, not maple syrup. So
that's cool, eh?
Yeah, eh? There's still hope, eh? Eh?
Eh?
Hey? Yeah, it's just they elected Trudeau. That's all I'm gonna say. If you happen to be listening in Canada, that genteel, effeminate-looking man is your leader. All I'm gonna say. I'll leave it out there. You make of it what you will. But yeah, it's sad. Looking at the global polls, I think because of what just happened, more people are open to the idea of being a nationalist or having borders, things like that, you know, because the reason the Italians took it in the face so hard was because they had hundreds of thousands of Chinese people working in their garment industry. And all those people went home for the Chinese New Year and came back with a little extra something for the Italian elderly. So, I think a lot of things are going to get reevaluated in the next few months. Anyway, we're out of time, Jeff. Thank you.
Thank you.
Come back again. I think we should do it more often than, you know, a few months. And I'm sure we'll have something to talk about. But our time is up. I didn't even have time to let Gino talk, but I'm sure he's petting his dog or writing a tune or something. So, everyone, thank you for joining us. We have been live. There has been some levity. I hope you've enjoyed. If you've taken offense at anything I said, I sell fainting couches, $69.99 free shipping. So God bless you. God keep you. Keep us in your prayers. And please remember to pray for Brother Douglas's wife. Have a good night.
Good night.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth with Michael Boldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you. They are all